and welcome to Faith Points, a weekly podcast from Faith Point United Methodist Church. If you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning or just want some more info, visit us on the web at faithpointum.org, or you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/faithpointum, or you can find us on Facebook. And now, a weekly message from Pastor Chris Bishop.
A song or a kind of vision of who Faith Point is. I think that song "Safe" pretty much captures it. That you know, we're a faith community that's a little bit different. We meet in a middle school and things like that. But also, I think we'd rather fail 1,000 times trying to do what God has called us to do than just play it safe. And so this weekend, we're doing things a little bit different and encouraging you all in a couple of new ways. And we're always experimenting with how we can deepen our life-changing faith in Christ. And so here we go. One of the things that I used to do in college with a buddy of mine was that we would take these kind of long weekends. I'm not saying that we would skip Friday classes, but, you know. So we would take these long trips, and what we would do is I had an Explorer at the time, and we'd just kind of throw stuff in there, and depending on what the weather was like, we'd either throw our kayaks on top or climbing gear on top. And so we kind of had these wonderful adventures in these long weekends where we would never remember to like change the batteries in our headlamps. And so we would be walking along these dark trails, making camp in like this thicket of really nasty, spiny things. And then right across the path was like this wonderful campground and things. But this one time when we had a couple of days, or we skipped a couple of days of class, whatever you want to say, we were in the New River Gorge, this beautiful part of central West Virginia where he was from, and we had just finished this climbing trip, and so we were like totally spent, kind of like walking on fumes and just going along this little billy goat path, and we have our hiking sticks, and all of a sudden, wham, this copperhead bit this walking stick that we had out in front of us. And we just paused. And I mean, what do you do, right? And so we just sat there, arms are dead from climbing, legs are barely working, we've got our packs on, and we just look at each other. And we try to like go around this guy, I mean, he was a big sucker. Try to go around it, and all of a sudden we hear off to the side, another one. And we try to go around the other side, and there's another one. And so we're cornered by these copperheads. And we were like, okay, what do we do? And I said, well, I'm a little bit tired, so let's go up on that rock up there, like 20 feet, and let's just wait it out, okay? And so there we are, sharing like our last power bar, watching these snakes kind of below us, thinking, oh my gosh, this is like something that you see in the movies as the sun sets and things like that. And eventually, like as the sun's setting, we heard like beavers making a dam, and it was really kind of cool, but there were still poisonous snakes down below us, you know? And so we waited them out, I guess, or they got bored with us, and then we finally made our way home. But I can't help but think that this teaching series about why Jesus is a little bit like that weekend trip that I took with my friend, that there's adventure in it, there's excitement in it, that when we explore why Jesus, who is this guy, the question that we continue to ask time and time again is the question that Jesus asked Simon Peter about, well, who do you say that I am? It's almost like that walk where sometimes it's fantastic and uneventful just the way we planned it. And then there are other times where something sneaks up on us and the adventure then becomes very real. And we don't necessarily like what we see or what we find out about this man, Jesus. And so as I've been looking at the scriptures for this week about the way that Jesus interacted with other people, I've found two things. First is that I've come across that it seems like this godly man, Jesus, hung out in the most ungodly of places. And secondly, is that were you, the places where you would expect God to hang out, seems like that's where God finds the most objectionable. And so today, as we reflect on the scripture that Jillian read with us we're going to explore the company that Jesus keeps and the way in which we are called to be people who go out into the streets and into the places where no one would expect to find God's word and encourage and invite those people to come to get to know this question of, well, who do we say that Christ is? And so if you want to turn, if you haven't already, to the scripture Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13, Jillian read for us. And Here's the way that it begins. It says, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to come to be dinner guests along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with such scum? When Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor, but sick people do. Then he added, now, and go learn the meaning of the scripture. I want you to show mercy, not to offer sacrifices. For I have come to call those who, I have not called those who think that they are righteous, but those who know that they are sinners. I posted on Facebook this week that as I was getting the GPS, our Grow, Pray, and Study guide, ready for this weekend, I guess next Saturday's reading is on Lazarus and Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And while I was doing that, I was also streaming on Netflix The Walking Dead. Does anybody watch that show? Right. And so I thought, oh, this is ridiculous because it's a show about zombies and apocalypse and everything else. And so I didn't in Saturday's thing, but when you read it, think about this. As you read it, I was going to say, well, what would your first reaction be as you saw Lazarus come out from the grave? Would it be to go and hug him or go and thank Jesus or aim for the head? But during one of those episodes, it talked about the way in which the world had changed for these folks in The Walking Dead and the way that the world had seemed in the character and the change that had happened in just this short period of time. And I couldn't help but think about Matthew as I was reflecting over this scripture and the ways in which sometimes life tends to get ahead of us a little bit, right? That sometimes we have this wonderful plan and then life happens or life happens to us and the plans have to change. And all of a sudden our 5-year plan that we had 5 years ago looks completely different than where we are now, right? And so you start to think about the choices that Matthew would have had to make and the person that Matthew was, somebody who worked for the Roman government, somebody who worked actively against the people of God, who would have probably lied and cheated them, who would have probably lost a lot of friends because of what he did. Do you think that that's the life that he set out for? Do you think that was the 5-year goal for Matthew? You know what I'm going to do in 5 years? I'm going to lose all my friends because I'm going to cheat them out of some of their money. Somebody have that as their 5-year goal? Because we can talk. I do pastoral counseling. But we find this man, Matthew, longing for something. And the thing that struck me this week was that there was not only a call on Jesus' part, but a response from this man to get up and follow. And I don't know why it struck me this week, but Jesus has this great way of calling out these people that nobody else wanted. And I can't help but think that Matthew probably longed for something else, probably longed for a second chance. He probably didn't belong anywhere. He did his job, and that was fine. But then I imagine that he probably went home at night and probably wasn't invited to a whole lot of parties, right? Because if you threw a great party, he'd be knocking at your door the next day looking for his cuts. And so here's this man who betrayed his countrymen and probably betrayed his values to some extent. And yet, we kind of give a nudge or give a jab to Matthew the tax collector, but at the same time, I can't help but think that there's a little bit of Matthew in each and every one of us, right? If Faith Point's a church of real people living real lives, and we recognize that life gets messy, life gets confusing, life gets complicated. And so we look at this man, Matthew, and recognize that Christ invites himself into this real life of this man and invites a real life-changing faith, a decision that he offers up. And so Matthew gets up and follows Jesus. He responds and finds acceptance finally after years. And because of that response to God's invitation, he impacts the world in ways that he never could as a tax collector, or doing the things that he was currently doing. You know, it may have been a comfortable thing, but I've recognized and realized that when we start to get comfortable, that's probably about the time where God's going to call us to do something a little bit more uncomfortable, right? And so we continue with the story. So Matthew responds, and let's pick up at verse 10 or so. It says, later Matthew invited Jesus and the disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. And the Pharisees saw and asked the disciples, why does your teacher eat with such scum? And Jesus heard this, right? You never want the person who you're trying to talk under to hear what you're actually saying, right? And so there's Jesus. In the Luke account, Luke kind of understands, or Jesus kind of understands the thoughts of some people, which is interesting, which is always kind of like, have you ever had that happen where people kind of look at you and just know exactly what you're thinking? And you just think, oh, man. And so then there's this conversation that Jesus has about, you know, healthy people don't need a doctor, but it's the sick who need it. Or I'm not calling those who think that they are righteous, but I'm calling those who know that they are broken. So we come to this dinner party, which is kind of strange because there's Pharisees there and there's Jesus and the disciples and all these folks. But think about who Matthew's friends were. They were probably other tax collectors, right? Probably other folks that probably couldn't find acceptance with other folks, and so they band together. And so if Matthew's going to invite somebody to dinner, it's probably his coworkers who probably don't get invited to a lot of other things. And so there's these people, and then there's the religious folk that come by. And so there's almost like this, you know, I mean, you could probably see this visible divide, right? How uncomfortable would that be? Have you ever been to a dinner party or something where even just one person comes into the room and the complete temperature of the room changes, right? I almost think that this is the way it was. And Jesus then looks and thinks about this ragtag group of disciples that he's chosen and the ragtag friends that he has. And then these Pharisees talk about, well, does he even know? Does he know that he's breaking rules? Does he know who these people are? Don't you understand, Jesus? This isn't the way we do things. We hang out with our people. We hang out with people that look like us and believe like us and do the same things as us and eat the same things that we do. Now, before we get too negative on the Pharisees, we have to recognize that they're probably just trying to do the things that they have been taught to. They're trying to uphold the law in the way that they know how. But at the same time, they're missing out on so many different opportunities. And so when they have this philosophy of withdrawal from culture, Jesus has this philosophy of engagement. Rather than withdrawing from the culture or saying, well, now I believe in, you know, I'm Jewish in that case, or I'm Christian in this case, and so I can't do those things, right? And we can make our own list of what Christians don't do, right? And they're probably just the things that we really want to do, but we don't think that we should, okay? Are we being honest today? And so Jesus doesn't have this philosophy of withdrawal, but rather this philosophy of engagement and saying, you know, I love you so much that I'm going to go in the trenches. I'm going to do these things with you. I'm not going to put up a front or try to sugarcoat things, but I just want to share life with you and do the things that I know that we're called to do. I think this is one of the great ironies of the 21st century, right? That we as Christians, as Christ followers, the more that we become Christian, the less we become like Jesus in a lot of ways with the people that we hang out with. Dan Kimball, an author, wrote this book called They Like Jesus But Not the Church. And he talks about this as the Christian bubble, okay? In the sense that as you accept Christ for the first time, as you explore what God has in store for you, it's fantastic. You engage yourself with people probably that aren't church people. And the longer that you're a church person, the more church people you hang out with, and the less you hang out with the other folks, right? Does that sound like anything maybe ringing a bell? And so, you know, we see this in church planting and things like that too, that church plants, it takes two folks in the church to bring one person from outside of the church into the church. But when the church gets to be about 10 years old or so, it takes 52 people in the church to then encourage and invite one other person into the church. It's the Christian bubble. And yet, when we look at Jesus, he spent his time in the synagogues, he spent his time teaching, he spent his time doing the things that he knew, and what John Wesley would say, attending to the ordinances of God, which just means having a lively faith, okay? But then he also went into the streets and was at most home in these kind of instances where he's eating with those people that no one else would eat with. And so maybe we have to start looking at the way that we might be able to pop that Christian bubble today. And so if you want to, our second scripture today, and there's a chunk of it on the screen or will be, Luke chapter 7 is where we're going. And this is yet again another invitation to a party that Jesus went to. And we'll just read the whole chunk of it today. And so it's Luke chapter 7, 36 through 50-ish or so. one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. And so Jesus went to the home and sat down to eat. And a certain immoral woman, you get in the code there when it says immoral woman? Got it. From the city, heard that he was eating there, and she brought this beautiful alabaster jar full of expensive perfume, and she knelt behind him, beside him at his feet, weeping, and her tears fell on his feet and wiped them off with her hair. She kept kissing his feet and putting the perfume on them, and when the Pharisees saw, like, if the Pharisees didn't like him eating with tax collectors, we're in for a treat now, right? Okay, so when the Pharisees who invited him saw this, said to him, if this man were really a prophet, he would know the kind of woman that is touching him. She's a sinner. Like he's not. Then Jesus answered his thoughts. Here it is, his thoughts, right? Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher. What's he going to say? Simon replied, and then Jesus told him a story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to another, but neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Now, don't read ahead if you're following along, but who do you think?
You think the guy that he gave the most back.
Right. You would think, right? Yeah, good. And so here's Simon's response. He turned, I suppose the one whose debt was larger. That's right, Jesus said. And then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at the woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust off of my feet, but she washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she hasn't stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she anointed my feet with a rare perfume. I tell you that her sins, they are many, have been forgiven, so that she has been shown much love. But a person who forgives a little shows only a little bit of love. And so Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. And the men sat at the table among themselves and said, who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now the Pharisees, again, are not concerned about the fact that Jesus is forgiving sins, but then they're questioning who this man is that he would say such audacious things. They're still missing the point, right? And so the question then comes for all of us is, so what do we do with this Jesus who kept company with the unwanted and the undesirable and the people who are broken? What do we do with it? This passage of Scripture, if we really take it seriously, is almost like those snakes on the trail, right? That it makes us a little bit uncomfortable and we stop and pause and think, I don't really know what to do now so many times. And so I think there are two things that we need to remember today. First and foremost, if we go back to that Matthew scripture, who does Jesus say that he calls? There's two answers. The sick, right? Yeah, the sick and the broken. Or at the very bottom of that passage, he says, or what? I didn't come to call those who think they're righteous, right? But those who recognize that they're sinners. So the first thing for today is that we recognize that we are those people. Those people that are broken, those people that are sick, those people that are sinners. And in doing so, we come to recognize that there isn't an us versus them or an insider-outsider thing, but it's all of us. That we are those broken people, that Jesus came to connect with the world, that he could save the world because of God's great love for us. Jesus is asking each and every one of us right now to respond in a way that Matthew had to choose to respond to. Jesus is asking us, I want to hang out with you. I choose you. But will you choose me in this season, in your life? The second thing that we have to remember is that we don't need to just only embrace our brokenness, but also the brokenness of others, to recognize that we're all a mess. To recognize that if there is no us or them or things like that, that we walk around with baggage and so does everyone else. And at times make allowances for that baggage that others bring, right? How many times have you wanted to go into a place or I've come into worship and the kids didn't go to sleep and things like that, and so I bring my tired baggage or I bring the baggage of the whole week and the stress and the drama of that. And I think, can't somebody just give me a break? Can't you guys just please recognize the hard week that I had? And everybody's saying that, right? Everybody's had a tough week. Let's just be honest. And so if we're people living and loving and serving God and trying to do that real life-changing faith thing every single day, it's that we recognize the brokenness and the baggage that every single person in this room and outside of it has as they go throughout this week. We are the body of Christ, and we are the best that God has to work with, right? And sometimes that's scary. And sometimes people say, well, there's that kind of drama or there's that kind of meanness in church. Yeah, there is. Why? Because we are all sinners, and we are all broken. And so this week, one of those things that I talked about at the beginning of the sermon that we're going to try to do a little bit differently, that we're committing to do, and if you guys have, I'd love feedback on if you like it or not. It might not matter if you don't like it, because we're going to try it for at least a little while. But I want you to get out your, get out your bulletin real quick. And we've changed up our Connect sheet, so you'll see that on one side is the Connect with FaithPoint side of it. And if you need pens or if you need a bulletin, just raise your hand like this, and Ben will get you something that you need. Or there's a lot of sign language going on in the back. Good. I think Irene's going to steal second base in a second. All right, so here's what I want you to do. Recognizing that we are a people called to be real people living real lives with this real life-changing faith in Christ, I want you to take out that that Connect sheet, and if you have any information or things like that that you'd like to share with us on the one side, that's fantastic. On the other side, okay, that looks like a little bit like this, that has at the very top, I'm visiting today. I want you to think about that next step of faith that you take, that company that you keep, and the ways in which you are going to step outside of your comfort zone this week to serve God, okay? And so there are ways there that you can serve. You can put a check mark next to them. There's Project Night Night information and things like that. And there's also in your bulletin, you got one of these cards, okay? This is our Easter invitation card, and there's plenty more. If we run out, I'll get more. But one of the things that I'd encourage you to do, and that my next step for this week is, maybe write down a name or two that you'd like to invite to our Easter celebration or our extravaganza the day before Easter. And write those names down and take a card and try to commit to giving that to somebody, inviting them to worship or to the extravaganza. And Ben's going to play a little bit of music so you can fill that out. And after a little bit, what I'm going to ask you to do is, when you're all finished, said, and done, I'm going to invite you to tear off that side sheet just like this, and then you're going to pass them to the outside rows, and in a little while, our greeters are going to come around and collect those. And this week, I'll be praying for you, for the names that you write down, and for the way in which we can be those people to reflect that kind of love that God has for us, getting outside and popping that Christian bubble that we may then invite others into, that life-giving, debt-relieving love that God has in store. So just take a few minutes and write down some things that you might be doing, or prayer requests or things like that that we can connect with this week. I invite you to stand and sing. Let's pray. Wonder-working God, so many times we find comfort in the places that we shouldn't, recognizing that, God, sometimes we just stop midway through the journey and want to quit, want to stop, want to soak in the comforts, but you call us, God, to keep moving. So, God, encourage us, spur us on to those places that you would have us go, to stretch in those ways that you would have us stretch, to invite those people into your kingdom that you would have us to invite. God, allow us to keep the company that Jesus would keep, living and loving that life-changing faith that we have and then inviting others into it. God, as we sing, allow it to be an offering to you. Allow us to be sent from this place as your hands and feet. God, we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.